creation. It all starts with this magnificent story. And I need to stress this story because today we're going to talk about the Noah's Ark. And typically when we talk about Noah's Ark, what do we turn it into? Vacation Bible school, amen? Right? We focus on the little animals and the animals going in two by two and all these other little things. You know we never focus on VBS? All the dead people. You can get that, D.
I'm sorry.
It's my wife. Now I'm worried that I didn't turn my cell phone off because whoever you ignored is about to call me. Please don't go off. Please don't go off. let's look at the creation story because I think this story illuminates so much of the rest of Scripture. And there's some really, really cool imagery in here. It starts with the idea that in the beginning, when nothing existed but chaos, and then there's these really cool images of God's Spirit almost wrestling with the chaos. And so it starts with He separates the waters, the light from the darkness. Now Scripture uses water as a very tangible statement of chaos. And I want you to remember that because all through Scripture, you're going to see water used to save people. Amen? And that's what I love about our baptism ceremony. It brings up all these different positions where water is significant in Scripture. And it starts off with that idea. And you see this really cool image of God separating the waters, light and dark. And then the next day, He separates the waters again, the sky from the rest of the water and from the heavens. And then the next day, He separates the waters under the sky so that we have dry land. And it's this really cool imagery of in the middle of chaos, God is speaking order. That speaks to God's basic presence. All these years later, I hope we read Scripture and understand that in the midst of chaos, God wants to speak order. Should that empower your spiritual life? Yes. How many times in the midst of life have you felt like chaos was winning? Anyone ever feel that way? Anyone ever feel like when you were raising your kids, chaos was definitely winning? And I want you to remind yourself, God is a God of order. He speaks order in a chaos. When Christ is confronted because the disciples think He's going to allow them to perish in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, what does He do? He stands up and He speaks to the chaos of that storm, "Peace, be still." And they are amazed because being good Jews, they would have connected that to this story. And so we have to have this great reminder that creation is a story that reminds us of who God is at His very essence. And He speaks order into chaos. And when God was finished, all of creation, it was okay, right? No, it was good, very good. There was no death. There's no destruction. Everything was a way that we would describe as heaven. We did not have to worry about what we ate. It was just kind of there for us. Except there's no meat, but that's a different story that we can debate later. So why do we not experience this perfection? Why do we not experience what life was meant to be? And that's the next story in Scripture. That when God created man, He created us in His image. And that is a powerful statement. But with that statement comes the ability to make choices. And so He gave the human beings authority, and the human beings failed. And when we read that story, we need to remind ourselves it does not just impact human beings. It impacts the whole of creation. The whole of creation is affected by that choice to the point where death and destruction, which was not supposed to be a part of creation, has now entered in. And even that separation of relationships, because I said in the very beginning, we were created equal in God's image, male and female. And at the fall, you see this division come in. And I didn't address the next story, but the next story is Cain and Abel, which very much speaks about the separation of relationships. That Cain and Abel are brothers. You would think two brothers could get along at least well enough to not kill each other, amen? And yet they don't. And there's this really cool imagery even in there where as Cain is thinking hateful, hurtful thoughts toward Abel, God goes to Cain and he says to him, be careful. Sin is lurking at your door. It's this really cool anthropomorphization of sin, this idea that sin is lurking for you. And he says, you must master it or it will control you. I tried to find a picture for that, but I was afraid there'd be kids here. And I'm glad I did not pick that picture because it was terrifying. But that image was right there. And that speaks to how terrible the separation of relationships is. It gets so bad. The world continues to get so bad that God decides he's going to start over. And that's the story Bonnie read. She read the end of that story where God says, I am going to start all of this over through Noah. I'm going to jump ahead to read my scripture, and then we're going to go back to that story. So I'm going to go after the Noah story in Genesis 11. We'll come back to Noah, and notice this will parallel what happens with Adam and Eve and them being disobedient to God as well. Genesis 11 began the first verse. All people on the earth had one language and the same words. When they traveled east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them hard. They used bricks for stones and asphalt for mortar. They said, come, let's build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the sky. Let's make a name for ourselves so that we won't be dispersed over all the earth. Did you catch what Noah was told when Bonnie read it? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And here man is, let us not be dispersed through the earth. Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the humans built. And the Lord said, this is now one people and they all have one language. This is what they've begun to do. And now all that they plan to do will be possible for them. Come, let's go down and mix up their language so they won't understand each other's language. Then the Lord dispersed them from there over all the earth and they stopped building the city. Therefore, it is named Babel, because there the Lord mixed up the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over all the earth. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for that great reminder that as we come together this morning, Father, that your presence is here with us. That the same presence that spoke order into chaos is here with us this morning. And we want to breathe deep of that presence, Father. That is your words that are spoken and heard. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So that's that story, you know, and you probably have never thought about this. But this really is God using the same things that happened in creation to get rid of the creation he made. The waters that he had separated and brought forth and controlled are now going to come back and destroy everything. See, what you don't probably remember is up before this point, there was no such thing as rain. Everything was just fertilized by the rivers and the streams. And in the story, when destruction comes, when God chooses to allow that chaos to take everything back over, the water comes from beneath and from above. Those domes that he separated collapse back in. But unlike the first story, where God creates out of nothing, there is a seed of that creation that seed that he protects in the ark. And I think this too will speak a couple things about God's presence. One, God is just. And when we fail him, there is a price to be paid. But in the midst of his justice, he's still merciful. He could have gotten rid of everything and started over afresh, amen? But he did not. The fact that he found anyone to bring that seed of original creation through the chaos again is a statement of his mercy. And if you read through the story, not only do you see the waters of chaos coming back to cover everything except that seed, just like in the original creation story, when his breath sweeps across the waters, his breath again will sweep across the waters and dry up the earth, and creation starts anew. I love that understanding. Here's why I love that understanding. If God can recreate everything, what does that mean about me? It means he can recreate me too, amen? And I want to be recreated. I recognize my faults and failures. I recognize that I don't always make choices that I really wish I did. And I serve a God who has demonstrated from the very, very beginning that he is capable of recreating. And thousands upon thousands of years later, when Christ comes, Paul has those great words for us. You are a new creation. Well, how is that going to work? That's a part of who God is. God is capable of recreating you. If there is a part of your life that you wish you didn't have, you serve a God that is capable of taking you and transforming you and renewing you, and that is a great part of the gospel message. Amen? We should share that at VBS with the kids. Because the animals part of the story is far less important about that cool spiritual reality that we serve a God that is powerful enough to recreate who we are. You know, there's a sadness to the very next part of this story, because the very next part of the story shows that rebellious nature that we inherited from our forebears is not completely gone. It doesn't seem like the most terrible sin in the world to build a city, amen? It doesn't seem terrible that they're building a really cool building. If you've ever been to the top of a really high building, by the way, it's really awesome. None of that seems bad, but within that story, you catch that it was a clear disobedience to their creator. Because when they came out, the very same command given to Adam and Eve are given to Noah. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. But let's face it, sometimes we'd rather do what we like to do, right? And sometimes we feel like we are stronger together and that we don't need God's help, because if we're all unifying together, we can do anything. Amen? We still feel that way today. All these years later, we still sometimes think we can get it all together on ourselves. We don't really need God. And you know what's kind of cool about this story? God does not give them an option, amen? God intervenes in such a way that his will is going to be done, even if man did not want it to happen. So man's saying, we've got this, God, and God says, you're going to be obedient. Whether you are obedient through faith or obedient because I'm going to force your hand, it's going to happen. All these years later, we've done a pretty good job at filling the earth. Amen? There are not a lot of places you can go where human beings have not filled. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. God's will has been done. So these are the points I really want you to get from this recreation. I want to stress recreation as opposed to Noah, just because this is the theological depth that I think empowers the story. One, I want you to remind yourself that recreation points to both God's judgment and his mercy. There was a consequence for the sins of the world. The fact that man had gotten worse and worse and worse, there was absolutely a consequence, and it was not a pleasurable consequence. It was a terrible consequence, but he still saved that seed. He could have started anew. He did not. And that was absolutely his mercy. And I think this might be the most important part. The recreation of the world points to our recreation in Christ. If somebody thinks the first time God recreated is all the way into the New Testament, tell them they are absolutely wrong. He did it at the very beginning of the book, and he's also going to do it where? At the very end of the book. Because there will be a new heaven and a new earth. All of this points to the character of God, and he recreates. He can renew from the very beginning to us in Christ, to the very end, when creation goes back to no death, no destruction, and that glory that we read at the very beginning of the book. So I want you, when you read this story, to remind yourself, this is just who God is. He recreates. And when I realize my struggles, I don't have to be afraid, because I can go to God and say, God, I want you to recreate. Recreate me in Christ's image so that I look more like him and less like how I used to look. And finally, the sin of humans remains. We still have that part of us that desires disobedience. We still have that part of us that struggles to be faithful in everything we do. Anyone else ever get tempted because you know you shouldn't? Just me and Sandy. The rest of y'all are great at this. You know, there is still that part of me, and it makes me kind of chuckle every time I recognize it, that if I know I shouldn't, it makes it worth that much more to do. And I have to remind myself, don't do it. And I'm really good in some situations, but I'm terrible at Burger King. And so this is what I want you to leave home with. If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. He offers that new creation. That same thing that happened all those years ago with Noah and the ark, Christ offers to you this morning. And I don't know what struggles you've had. I don't know if you have been in the midst of Christ recreating you or if you've never even thought about the process. But here's what I know. If there is something in your life that you feel has bound you or separated you from Christ, his message to you this morning is he wants to make you a new creation. That whatever boundary you think exists, he took down at the cross. And he's saying to you this morning, you can come and hand it to me. And my promise is I will recreate you. It is not your responsibility because you're not capable of being the creator. But the creator can. And as we close in worship this morning, if you need to do work at the altar, come to the altar. But whatever you do, don't leave the doors without recognizing that Christ wants to recreate you into his image, more into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And be grateful that we serve a God who recreates. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that your scripture points to your divine truths. And that way before your son Christ walked the earth, Father, you reminded the people that recreation is a part of who you are. And Father, we come to you in need of being recreated. We come to you as people who sometimes struggle to be faithful to your call on our lives, Father. As people who sometimes feel more connected to the sinfulness of our past than to glory of your Son. And so, Father, as we close in worship this morning, help us to breathe deep of that recreative process. of that great grace of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of your Holy Spirit that desires to move deep within us and transform us into your image. Father, breathe deep within us this morning so that we can be your presence in this world that desperately needs to know your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this morning. We're going to sing hymn number 295, Revive Us Again, as we pray God's Spirit recreates each of us in a new and fresh way this day. 295.
Beloved children, being recreated by his presence, go forward to serve him, knowing the God of love, the God of peace, and the God of joy goes with you always. Amen.
Yeah. somewhere. Go, just go down.